Road Wednesday night. I'm thoroughly enjoying my time teaching this and coming to greater understanding and greater revelation, and that's the cool part about it. Again, when you think you've reached the plateau of knowledge, you don't know nothing. Is that right? You don't know nothing, and We just got to really continue to seek the Lord in these last days. By the way, we put another clock back here, so I know exactly what time it is. We put the other one in the fellowship hall, and every time I go by my office, I look at it, and it's stuck on 6:30. I was like, that ain't right. So anyways, we won't have that problem until that battery goes dead. Okay, so Revelation Road, we've been teaching chapter 11, and I'm going to go recap this part, and I began this statement last time. I said your understanding of these events will help you understand the timetable of what is to come, So let's look at this, Revelation chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1, recap it, because I'm going to give you some more teaching on this and kind of pile it on and then jump on to tonight's teaching. And there was given me a reed. Who? John was given a reed like unto a rod. We talked about possibly being like a pen, some type of measuring tool. And the angel, which could be Jesus, we don't know. He could continue the conversation, but it doesn't really affect anything as far as theology of this. But the angel stood saying, rise. Remember? Wake up. Remember, John was in the type of stupor, as we all would have been. And I think in the coming days, we're all going to be in some type of shock and awe, don't you think? When we begin to see these things in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you couldn't be, but he's in that type of shock, and we've explained that back with Zechariah, and it's happened before. And measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Again, sometimes measurement is used as judgment. Other times it's used as ownership, territory, and boundary. Okay, so God was saying, hey, this is my area. A lot of bad things are going to happen right here. There's going to be a lot of wars and different things, which I'm going to kind of explain a little more in clarity. But I own this. And that's a wonderful point to see, because no matter what we go through in tribulation and life in general, God owns us, if you will. He's our Father, and he's going to be with us. And that's good gospel news, isn't it? I said, that's good gospel news to know that. So go to the next verse. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles in the holy city. They shall tread underfoot for 42 months. So let me go a little further than I did last time. And I talked about being tread upon. I talked about the outer court not being measured, again, the court of the Gentiles, and I explained to you how it's possible the two facilities, if you will, the temple and the Dome of the Rock, can exist together, which is interesting, fascinating in itself. But also, I want you to understand, this is dealing with the armies of Israel, of the Antichrist against Israel, being in the city of Jerusalem, taking over portions of Jerusalem, and that will happen in the final days, in the last days. So a little bit of clarity, a little bit of correction from last time. When I told you that this is the beginning of tribulation period, the temple being built, all of those things of worship being reinstated, those are at the beginning of tribulation. No doubt, hands down, because again, some say that, you know, it happens midway, they build the temple. It's in the beginning of tribulation. In fact, that's how it begins with Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Remember, the Antichrist makes an agreement, a seven-year contract, 1 week. Translated out of the Hebrew means, you know, 7 days, 7 years. And so that contract, that covenant is made, and it's made in the beginning, and we know that he allows worship to begin again. So that treading down, and I mentioned the UN, the Vatican, the governments of the world, but also their armies and the army of the Antichrist, because there's going to be such war that takes place in those regions and such in that region, and especially with Jerusalem, and such turmoil. But God says, I've reserved it for them. I'm going to allow that to take place. So I wanted to give that clarity and that correction so you would understand. And then it says, they shall tread under it for 42 months. That means for that 3.5 years. So picture this with me. Let's look at the timeline one more time. The temple is rebuilt. The covenant is made. The peace treaty is made all at the same time. They let them go back to worship. It's utopia in the Middle East. Everything seems awesome. It's absolutely wonderful. And then the Antichrist shows himself, because remember, he's kind of in this facade. He's in this, bless you, he's in this veneer of not knowing who he is. He's in a disguise, if you will. The Christians will know what's going on, but most people won't, because he's cunning. He has lying signs and wonders and miracles. He's stunning Steve. He's all these answers. There's a lot more I could talk about the Antichrist, but that's not the study tonight. It would take weeks to study him out and what he's able to do. And so they're fooled by this. Then in mid part of the tribulation, he causes the abomination that what? Causes desolation. Again, we don't know if that's a swine put on the altar, as it has been done in the past. Is it something immoral that's done? We don't really know. We just know he desecrates their worship, and at that time begins to say he's God. And then basically all H-E double hockey sticks begins to take place in the world. So we haven't seen anything yet, and everything we're watching to this point is nothing compared to what's going to come. So I wanted to give you that kind of view. The temple is definitely rebuilt, definitely in the beginning, but now we're stepping into that last part of the 3.5 years, okay? And that's what I want to jump on so you can see it a little more, excuse me, clearer. All right, so next verse in tonight's teaching. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Everybody say two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So there's your 3.5 years. So now we're talking about the latter part of that 7-year peace treaty being broken in the middle. And now you have these two prophets, these two witnesses. Now, I'm going to give you, as I gave you last week, but I'm going to give you more detail of who I think it is. Can I tell you, at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. But you need to know in your theology, there will be two witnesses. You need to know that there will be two prophets. Again, to name them is really not, it's not going to cause you to sit any closer to Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right? I mean, you're not going to get a special ride on Gabriel's back or Michael's back. I mean, you know, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Anyways, you know, you don't get a star by your name. It's just theology. We're studying theology, and we're taking scripture and we're putting it together, and it makes sense to us. But the core of your theology should be this: there are two prophets coming. There are two witnesses that are coming, and I have so much to teach on this. I'm so pumped up about it because it just goes in line with what I've been teaching for years. All right, so I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy. So they're going to be clothed in sackcloth. We talked last time, sackcloth represents what? Mourning. It represents judgment. Now, will they be in sackcloth? I don't know. I don't know if Macy's has any or Walmart's got it. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I know this, their message is going to be heavy Chevy. Their message is going to be unbelievably heavy. We've never heard preaching like this in our modern times. Never. Never. We've never. There's no man walking on the earth now, woman or whatever, that can compare to the message and the power in which they will pronounce the judgments of God. Nobody. Now, in history, yes. History, yes, because we believe these two are historical figures, okay? And the greatest, obviously, is the Lord Jesus. Okay, so next verse. And these are two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, we know that goes back to Zechariah chapter 4 with the Zerubbabel, chapter 3 dealing with Joshua the high priest. You have the civil leadership, you have the religious leadership, and you have the candlestick, you have the anointing flowing in. And I gave you that illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told Zerubbabel, he was like, how can I do this? How can I build the temple? He said, not by might nor by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. So you take that and you overlay it to Revelation 11. How can we do what we're going to do in these last days? Well, how can you do what you do today? Not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Okay? So when I say things that you're not going to believe and it's going to be on your imagination what's coming, when I say that, there's for a reason, is because everything is going to be so supernaturally charged. So supernaturally charged. This whole veneer of the dimension we're walking in is going to slowly fade away as we watch the demonstration of the power of God and the power of evil. See, right now, there's restraining forces. Right now, there is that veneer. There's those things that keep us shielded from some of these evil things, and we don't see some of these evil things happening. We see the results of it. Murder and pedophilia and this and that. We see prostitution. We see the effects of it. It's like the wind. We can't capture it, but we feel it and we see its effect. Well, in this hour that we're coming into, things are going to be much more sensitive. We'll be more sensitive because, again, all this old wineskin, all the old parts of life, if you will, of natural living, is going to begin to fade away. Why? Because we're stepping closer to eternity and the closer to the coming of the Lord. So it'll make more sense as we go along. So we know that's what it was, right? That's who they are. So let's go to verse 5. And if any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So let me go to my notes here. Let's talk about that because we're going to finish up a little bit on these two witnesses and to get that understanding. So we talked about that in Zechariah, right? We kind of got that understanding. Then I explained to you that verse 4 was speaking of the law and the prophets, speaking of the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, and it's an example of the one new man. Again, I explained it last time. I'm not talking about the false teaching of dominionism. I'm talking about God saving Israel, saving a remnant out of Israel, and us coming together as the body of Christ. There's only one body. There's only one body, and that is the body of Christ. No matter, because he said there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female. It's one body. How are they connected? How are we connected? By the blood of Jesus. That's how we're family. Okay? And so, it's very interesting, because we talked about the two lampstands in Revelation chapter 2. So we know, again, he's speaking concerning the church. All right? I gave you Acts chapter 7, 37 through 38, talking about the Old Testament church. So we know it was a literal church. Maybe not the same as we would have today, but they were called out. They were brought together. It's the same structure. All right? We had Pastor Moses, right? Okay. Two candlesticks. Remember the Old Testament and the New Testament, bringing that one new man of Ephesians chapter 2. So I gave you those two thoughts. Some people say that one of them is Enoch. One of them is Enoch. Others say that it is Moses. And again, I gave you Hebrews 9:27. While most people believe that it's Enoch because of that scripture, that's appointed unto man to die once, then what? Then judgment. So it couldn't be Moses because he's already died. But that is not a disqualifier. That's just a specific scripture that is truth, that every man is appointed unto death, and then there's his judgment. But that doesn't say that Moses can't be there, and it doesn't give Enoch the pass. Okay, so we're just talking a little theology here. Again, I think when you when I finish this this course here, you'll see my point on this. but definitely we know it's Elijah, because Jesus told us that Elijah would come back before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Is that right? Right. He came as far as the spirit of Elijah with who? John the Baptist. Right? Malachi also speaks of this, but he and even John said, "Hey, I'm not Elijah." But he knew that the spirit of Elijah was upon him. Okay? I told you that the pre-trib teachers, they don't like Moses being here with Elijah, because that ruins the whole first resurrection, the resurrection. You know, Jesus is the first fruit, right? Absolutely. So it ruins it because he's not supposed to be there. He's supposed to be dead somewhere. But you know what? God can do what he wants to do. How many raised up dead bones? They put life back in it. He can do whatever he wants to do. So I think when we see this, it fits perfectly. And Jennifer said one time, I was going back over some old notes, she said, well, when we're all raptured, what are the pre-trib people going to do about that? I mean, if we're already raptured, I thought we're supposed to die. Hebrews 9:7 is appointed to all men to die once. Well, if I'm raptured, how did I die? Yeah, go home and think about that for a little while. Right? Take some Advil. so it's not so inclusive or so absolute. There's more to understand there. Does that make any sense to you? Okay, so basically Moses, and there would be nothing wrong with Moses being in a glorified body. Right? Moses would be in a glorified body, but I don't think that's what we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see that particular thing. I think God's going to do what he wants to do because of, when you look at, let me give you this scripture. I'm going to find that scripture real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 17, because I'm actually getting into all my notes for tonight, but I want to show you two main points. Check this out, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Next verse. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him who? Moses and Elias, talking with him. So we'll stop right there. How did Moses get there? Heavenly Airlines. I mean, first class all the way down. There you go, land. I mean, he got there because God said go, right? We have no problem seeing that, but then all of a sudden we have a problem with him being in the book of Revelation. Remember this, in hell, in the realm of Sheol and Hades, they have a soul. They feel. They have conscience. They speak. In fact, the Bible is very explicit. They wear clothing. So if that is what's going on in that realm, then why can't it be the same realm as in heaven? Because it is. It is, especially if God wants it to be that way. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And so I have no problem reconciliating this or reconcile or put it together, however you want to say this, in my mind, of Moses being there and him having died. It doesn't make a difference. All I know is that Moses is there. let me show you this here. I'm hitting the gas, I'm hitting the brake, I'm hitting the gas because I want to punch it. But I told you guys this, and I want to explain it a little further. I believe, I truly believe this, and I've been teaching this for many years, that when the two witnesses are on the earth, we will do mirror ministry like they will. In fact, the word witness there means doubled or mirror. I believe the church will be doing the same things as far as being a witness in the last days. Now, I will clarify that as I go further, that we're not going to do the exact same things. We're not taking the place of the two witnesses, but we are going to be in ministry like the two witnesses. Because if not, what are we here for? Seriously, we're not here for you to kill trees to write notes in your notepad. We're not here to burn up power and make Mr. and Mrs. Duke Power money, or whoever power company you have. We're not here to do that. We're here to learn, to be encouraged, to be equipped, to be engaged, and to go out and do the work of the ministry and to endure what is to come. Because your greatest days are not behind you. They're before you. The reason you were born is beyond today. It's tomorrow. And you have to believe that. And the book of Revelation is a snapshot of what the church is going to be doing. So I wanted to start that out by saying this to you. We will be doing great things for God in the last days. And as you watch this with these two guys, these two prophets, which I believe is Moses and Elijah, understand this, that the church will have parallel paths, will have parallel assignments. Again, I want to punch this thing. Go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 through 39. Let me show you some of these things real quick. Now watch this. This is really, really cool. Now if you're pre-trib, you don't believe anything I'm saying. I can't help you. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. What are they talking about? The abomination that causes desolation. So now we're at the 3.5 year mark of the 7 years that Daniel talked about in chapter 9, right? Yes. And shall take away the daily sacrifice. Is that right? Yes. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Next verse. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Right. Wait a minute now. I thought it was just the two witnesses. Right. No, ma'am. Their God, they know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. Next verse. And they shall understand among the people, they that understand among the people, they that understand among the people, those that went to Ignited School of Ministry, those who study the Bible, those who pray, those who love God, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Who is that? Us. That isn't Israel. That isn't some, hopefully, some people who get saved during the tribulation. That's the church. Where are we getting our understanding? Right here, right now. Right at home when you study, when you do your Bible studies, when you do your devotions, you spend time in prayer and you ask the hard questions, you write them down in your journal and all those different things. You have an understanding that they won't have. And I'm telling you, those that are in pre-trib world that think we're out of here, they're not going. People are not going to come to them for the answers. They're the ones that are going to be jumping out of the moving cars. They're the ones who are going to come to you and say, oh my God, you were right. Well, I told you to get rid of those left behind books. I told you to get rid of that stuff. You wouldn't listen to me. And we're not going to beat them up. We're going to help them up. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by the captivity and by the spoil many days. Yay! Do you know what that means? Martyrs. And we're going to get into that. We're going to show you. It's about being a martyr. We are to die. We're to die daily. But there's also that call of being a martyr. And those who are in this tribulation period of time, which is the generation of the coming of the Lord, I can't say if you're going to be there or not, or I'm going to be there or not. My timing in life is in the hands of the Lord, just like yours is. But if he grants us to be here during that period of time, we're going to go through some stuff. And I would rather know the truth to be prepared. Not with beanies, weenies, and stuff like that. That's temporal. I want to be ready here to handle the trauma. Don't you? How many of us would be better at handling fear and trauma if we knew fear and trauma were around the corner? Right. I think we all would. We would be a little more equipped saying, okay, I can handle this. I can handle this. It's like when my mother-in-law comes over. I'm prepared. I know what to do. All right. I love your mom, by the way. Go back, man. I got to get out of this. And they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by the captivity, by the spoil, by many days. So in that time period, there's going to be martyrs. It's going to go through suffering. The persecution, can I tell you, that's coming? And I don't want to, again, get ahead of myself and then people just bomb out and don't want to be a part of the teaching anymore because it sounds so bad. But the persecution we're going through right now is nothing. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing compared to a global, governmental, jihadist, extermination, Holocaust Part 2, 2.0, if you will, the final solution, game day, open day on Christians and Jews. It's coming. It is coming. Because you've got to remember, this is not political. This is the devil incarnate hating Christians, hating humanity. And he will do everything he can to eliminate him, especially a believer. And that's heavy, but I'm going to show it to you as we go through the book of Revelation. That's what it's for. Okay, next verse. And when they shall fall, they shall be opened with a little help. That's good. I'll take a little help. Little help is better than no help. But many shall receive or shall cleave to them with flatteries. This is very interesting. And man, I want to preach this part here. Many will cleave to them with flatteries. What is that talking about? It's talking about those that have understanding. They're going to be the leaders of the last days, moving with the two witnesses, moving with the assignment of God. But then there's going to be people who will join with flatteries. In other words, the carnal Christian, the one that says, you know what, I think those miracles are awesome. I want to hang out with you guys at Ignited because you're excited. But they have no root. They have no deepness. How many of y'all know Christians like that? We all do. But God's going to grace them, allow them to be a part of this thing. So guess what? Just like Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always. There's scripture right here for you. And this is Old Testament. All right, next verse. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the end of time. So those that are in understanding, they're going to fall. In other words, there's going to be death. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials, purging. Why? To make us white, to make us pure. Oh, man, I just, the wrath of the Lamb, as we watch the seals and we watch the beginning of the trumpets and we see all these things take place, the wrath of the Lamb is for the purifying of the church so that we can be that bride in Revelation 19 that's prepared herself. The reason we're going through the precursors now, watch this. These precursors of the pandemic and masks and mandates and all these pressures we're hitting with, these are just training tools. These are training wheels. These are waders in the waters of life. And God is allowing us to go through it to see what we're made of and to put in us what we need and take out what we don't need so we could be ready for this. Now, I know that sounds crazy to folks, but that's exactly what's happening to us. That's why we're being weeded out. That's why pastors are falling. That's why jokesters and toasters and all these other ones, these players, they're being exposed. God wants to heal them and deliver them, but at the same time, he cares more about the flock than he does about the flunky. Help me. He'll take care of the flunky, but he got to get the flunky out of the way to take care of the flock. And that's what's happening. And so these things will happen to us, even to the time of the end. Guess what? It's always going to be this way.
Well, Pastor, I don't like that message.
Turn the channel. Find you another Bible. Get you a Precious Moments Bible. I don't think they have that in there, do they? Even to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time or time appointed. Next verse. And the king shall do according to his will and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Who's he talking about? The Antichrist. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper and shall prosper and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Next verse. You're reading the book of Revelation right here. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Next verse. But in his estate shall be honor, He shall honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Finally, verse 39, at the time of the end, and this shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, with whom shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. We'll stop right there. What happens? Measure the temple, the altar, the worshipers set aside this outer court, if you will, the court of the Gentiles, because it's going to be tread upon. Shall divide the land for gain. So I showed you that in the beginning of that in verse 31 to prove the fact, taking the overlay to Revelation chapter 11, we're going to be doing ministry, great exploits. What it looks like, I can't tell you in totality. Will it be from a pulpit like this, or will it be underground? I do not know. I do not know the totality of what it will be. But I know we'll be doing a mirror reflection of what I'm fixing to teach you and show you. This is our greatest hour. Let me try that one more time. This is our greatest hour. We've got to get through some of these birth pangs and these sorrows. We've got to get through some of these things until this all kicks off and the glory of the Lord kicks in and we start seeing transformation of our lives. But I promise you, better yet, the Word promises you, if we're here, if we are that generation to see the coming of the Lord, we're in that time frame, we're going to see the glory in ways that are beyond my words I'm preaching to you right now. Okay, so let's go to verse 5. Let's look at this thing. What happens here? Check this out. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this like manner be killed. Now, first of all, I'm not saying we'll have that same abilities. First of all, I will say this. In our current state, we don't need that. Miss Sarah, you don't need that fire, do you? No, I don't need. Hey, the Lord working on me, right? I'm not picking on Miss Sarah. But hey, Walmart, me, I'd burn every Walmart down I've ever been in. Come on now. We're just playing around. But are we in the condition to do that? No. No. I'm not telling you necessarily that will happen. Can I tell you that it has happened in history? Yes. Has God trusted man to do this? Yes. Will he trust man again? He does in these two prophets. Do we get that opportunity? I don't know. But all I know is this, that in my current condition, in your current condition, and people I know, they don't need no fire coming out of their mouth. They got enough garbage coming out of their mouth. Can somebody say amen? So let's prove it in history. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 12. Is this good? I hope it's getting you excited. I know the martyr part you don't like and persecution, but who does? But it's going to be glorious. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So go back. Didn't come out of his mouth, but did he command it to happen? Yes. Did God allow it to happen out of the words of the prophet? Absolutely. And who was that, by the way? Elijah. He's one of the two witnesses. Parallel, ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like, come on, it's right there. Okay. I'll give you a quick story, and this has nothing to do with me. I want to just bring this out because it's interesting. I was preaching in the Dominican Republic years ago in an open crusade. I don't know, a couple hundred people there. It might have been a couple hundred. I don't remember how many were there. And I was preaching. I remember the guy sitting on the front row, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know really anybody there. So I was preaching, and as I was preaching, I was really preaching evangelistically. I pointed my finger at the crowd there, kind of a evangelistic thing. And then the altar call came. I remember that guy came to the altar. Well, my interpreter, which was the pastor, the host pastor, he came up to me. He says, you don't know who that was? I was like, no. He said he was a major drug lord in this community. He said, when you put, he told him in Spanish, he said, when you put your finger out, he said, there was fire that came out of your finger. And he said, he got saved. He just felt the power of God and he got saved. I didn't know it was loaded. I didn't sit in my hotel room going, okay, ready? Yeah. You know, I had no idea. I have to believe the pastor. It happened. I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't feel nothing. You know, it's not on cameras. So if it happened, it happened. Why did I say that? Because supernatural things happen, right? They've happened for me, for you, for things we don't even know. So if it happened then, it can happen as well for us. Okay, so the timeline, I wanted to give a timeline real quick. Daniel's covenant, 927, we talked about that. The covenant's made, the temple's rebuilt, worship starts, the two witnesses are showing up for 3.5 years, okay? Go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. Let's look at that real quick. I'm just laying the timeline out again so we can kind of get a grasp of what's happening, okay? Remember, the temple's rebuilt, but now we're headed into the last 3.5 years. Because in the chapter 11, you're going to see some really cool stuff. And you're going to see how this all ends. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Go ahead. Next verse. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as to the day of Christ is at hand. You know what? This could be right now for YouTube. You could preach this right now for YouTube people that are saying all kinds of crazy stuff. It's the mark of the beast, the vaccine, blah, 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 blah. All that's going on out there is just ridiculous. And people are shaken. People are too soon shaken. You're shaken too soon. Right. And that's what he had to deal with. He had to deal with somebody saying the day of the Lord has already come. He clarifies it. Next verse. Let no man deceive you. YouTubers, don't let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of who? Perdition. Talking about who? The Antichrist. Okay? So we have to have an apostasy, apostate church, a falling away. Then we have what? The exposure of the man of sin, who opposes, exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that as God he sitteth in the temple. Temple, right, of God, showing himself that he is God. Go back to Revelation 11. So, we have the timeline. It's very plain to us. The temple is built. They start worshiping. 3.5 year mark. The Antichrist says he's God. There's wars that are taking place. There's a trampling over Jerusalem. There's, the Confederate, a 10-nation Confederacy that is there. On and on it goes. Too much in detail to teach tonight. But we know that Jerusalem is that trembling cup, that burdensome stone. We know there's going to be great, great chaos and conflict. Now, during all this, the Antichrist rises up. He takes his mask off. He shows who he is. He causes all of the sacrifice to stop. The Jews literally flee. I don't have time to go to Matthew 24. They literally flee. Some go to Petra. Some go here, some go there, some stay and die. Because now you're entering into the wrath of Satan. And then it goes, after that, it gets into the wrath of God. But watch this picture. In the midst of this horrible outbreak, if you will, of the anger of the devil, two witnesses are there, and they begin to preach. Go back. Here we are. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. Can you imagine that? Think for a second. If you try to hurt, first of all, this is a great theological point of view. You can't hurt what God doesn't allow you to hurt. The devil can't hurt, he can't kill what God doesn't allow him to do. He has boundaries. He has limitations. And just picture this. We've seen nothing like this in our human history. I have never seen somebody breathe fire out of their mouth. Have you? Not even in my drinking days. You know what I mean? When you're delusional. I mean, I've never seen those things. And we've never seen it. See them in movies, whatever. Now go to the next verse. Check this out. And these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy for 3.5 years. And that doesn't say it doesn't rain. Some scholars kind of say it doesn't rain, but it says it gives them power. Now again, what kind of people are these? What kind of prophets are these? These are disciplined prophets. These are prophets who are sold out to the will of God. They don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I hate all y'all, it's not going to rain today. You know, or I need to wash my robe today, I'm going to let it rain. They do it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Again, you can't picture the current church with this power. Come on, church, think about it. Everybody that owns a boat would hold back the rain so they can go boating. Especially on Sunday morning. And most of them will be pastors so they can fish. You know what I'm saying? We have our motives are wrong. We're fleshly. You know, we want things our way. These are dedicated men. Again, they have power to shut heaven. So we don't know exactly if it is for that 3.5 years. But if they decide and they're led by the Holy Ghost, guess what? It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. It is not going to rain. Let me show you something else about Moses real quick. I'm jumping back and forth for a reason. I gave you Matthew chapter 17, right? I gave you it was 1 through 12, the whole thing there. Moses had been dead for over 1,700 years. If you want to write that in your notes from when I talked about Moses, he'd been dead for 1,700 years. And here he was with Jesus. Okay? And Jesus had not yet been the first fruits of all that died. So Moses could not have been in a resurrected body. That's another theological thing to think about. He wasn't in a resurrected body. He was in some type of glorified body, some type of obviously body, but he couldn't have been in that resurrected body because there was no resurrection yet. You see how this is coming out? 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Let's go there real quick. I got about 10 minutes, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. All right, let's look at that real quick. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. I think that's right. Let's see what we got. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Exactly. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Talking about the Lord Jesus. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his what? At his coming. Okay, so that's a bit of theological truth there. To kind of go along with what I was talking about with Moses. Here's another interesting fact, if you like facts. Elijah was living in heaven in his earthly body for 1,000 years. When Matthew 17 was recorded. He was in his earthly body because he was translated. He was caught up into heaven and what he was wearing and what he had. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea if they have a laundromat in heaven. I don't know what they did. But all I know, I'm giving these illustrations, is that what you saw in Matthew 17, and then you see, in Revelation 11, God can do what he wants to do, okay? All right, so we go back to Revelation chapter 11. Talked about the heavens, right? The power to stop the rain. Has that ever been done before? Yes. Hate to push your fingers to the max there, Joshua, but 1 Kings 17. Let's go there real quick. We're trying to prove line upon line, scripture upon scripture. Let's prove something here. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, watch this, guys, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. Not even dew. You talk about a dust bowl. You talk about dry. So it's been done before, right? All right, go back to Revelation chapter 11. All right, so let's go. It shall not rain in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood. Wow, listen to this. They turn it to blood. Has it ever happened before? Thank you. Exodus chapter 7. Let's go look. 14 through 25. I'm going to skim through that as fast as I can. Exodus chapter 7, 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river brink against he come, and the rod which was turned into a serpent thou shalt take in thine hand. Thanks, Lord. Next verse. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews saith, sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go. Okay, go to the next verse. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand, and upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to what? Blood. Next verse. Watch this. And the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the waters of the river. Next verse. And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, take thy rod and stretch it out over the hand upon the waters of Egypt, and upon their streams, and upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and all the vessels of stone. I want to stop right there. Basically, he said this, all the pools of water will turn to blood, even what's in their cups. That's what that means. There will be no cup, there will be no vessel that doesn't turn to blood. Revelation chapter 11. So it has been done before. Can I ask you who did that? Moses. I thought Moses was somewhere in there. Okay? Do you know something? Enoch did no miracles. No miracles were done by Enoch. None. There's none recorded. He walked with God. Enoch was and he was not, because God took him up. He loved him. He thought it was awesome. Hey, come here. He took him up. But he did none. No miracles are recorded by Enoch. All the miracles you see in chapter 11 with the two witnesses parallel the lives of Elijah and the life of Moses. Okay? Notice this. Next, just a couple more minutes here and we're going to get out of here. So they have power to shut the heavens. They have power to turn water to blood. To smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. You want to talk about power? You want to talk about power and authority given to these two witnesses that they can release these plagues? They can release this power upon the earth? God gives them that permission to do so. Why is this happening? Because again, I gave you the parallel between Pharaoh, Moses, and the Antichrist and the church. And there's going to be an epic battle for humanity because the Antichrist and all of his lying signs and wonders is going to be trying to combat the church like the wizards and magicians tried to do against Moses in the temples and Pharaoh's courts. And there's going to be an epic battle and these two witnesses will be awesome. Okay? And the church will be a part of this. Verse 7, I think that's all I can do. And when they have finished their testimony, they finished. The word finished there means to reach a goal. In the Greek, it means to reach a goal. They've reached the goal. What goal? The goal of God. Whatever goal that God had set for them, that was it. Their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Man, I'm out of time. I got to stop right there. So I'm going to pick up back there in more detail. But just incredible days are coming. And again, we are going to be a part of this final harvest and the final move of God. You say, Pastor, to what extent? All I know is God's cleansing us now. He's preparing us. He's purifying us. He's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I think when we come to this point in tribulation, there's going to be tremendous obedience in our lives. And we're going to see great and mighty things, just like Daniel 11 said. Father, thank you so much for that opportunity. Thank you for working on us. Thank you. You haven't forgotten about the church, that you're raising us up for the final harvest and the final push of your Spirit. The most glorious days are right before us. Bless us, Father, in our work and our labor, and we look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you then. Be blessed.